Welcome to the Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Hannah Belton. My brother, Christian, disappeared in Mali, Africa in 2003. He disappeared without a trace. We lost his story. We didn't have closure. We lost so much. I was fighting and searching to find Christian when actually I just needed to sit in stillness and attract him in. I was so resistant to doing this, but I had to surrender. It's a process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing.
And we were destined from the start to tell our story into the dark, for we were born to a great white shark.
Hello, everybody. Hello, welcome. Come on in as usual. Come and sit in a circle. I've got an amazing lady for you to meet today, Natasha Harris. But I just want to give you a little update, really, on the thread that's been running through the whole of the podcast. Christian's belongings that need to be returned to him. This week has been the start of lots of new beginnings for me and for Christian and our new adventure that we're going to go on to. It did start this week. Out of the blue, I got a contact. I'm not going to tell you the story too much because I want to leave that for when we're further along so I can fill you in. But yes, out of the blue, I got contacted by a professor of psychology in New York State and a interfaith minister from South Carolina. They're connected. Their two loved ones in spirit are connected, and they have connected with Christian and I. Christian's sitting in a circle with their loved ones in spirit, and we are about to go on a very big adventure to go and bring back what his lost belongings. So just to update you that it's all starting to move, and I've got quite a few guests lined up to introduce you to help you. I know we're gathering a lot of people around this podcast. I see you, the listeners, as leaders in waiting. So this connection that I've made with America, we are making a circle of community. And the effect that we have will ripple out. Our guest this evening, Natasha, she also has a circle community, which she is actually launching on the 12th of April, which I belong to. And I'm very much looking forward to joining that circle. That circle will be rippling out the effects of that. I'll talk to Natasha about that. I'm sure if any listeners would like to join that circle, that would be amazing. But yeah, so we're definitely at this time where there's an awful lot of leaders in waiting who are gathering, and the light and the love is going to break through all this fear. Can't wait to tell you all about it and see how it turns out. So yeah, I need to introduce you to Natasha. Natasha, I have known for, it was last year I met Natasha. I'm going to bring Natasha on now. This is Natasha with a beautiful smile.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh, thank you. It's so, I'm so excited about being here and having a conversation with you and just having goosebumps as you're talking around that and the leaders in waiting and these circles of rippling effect are just quite incredible. So,
yeah. So I met Natasha last year through a circle, actually. And I've been working with Natasha in groups and one-to-one since probably September last year. So
I've learned so much from Natasha and her work with the Akashic Records. Do you just want to tell the audience and viewers sort of what your work comprises of and how you use the Akashic Records, and what are the Akashic Records is probably the first question.
Yes, so like a huge topic all together there, but so I'm just, as I said, I'm just delighted to be here. And I work with the Akashic Records. I'm a business coach and intuitive business coach and healer, working with people who really want to make a difference in the world. And you know, Hannah, I know the ripple effect of what you're trying to do and what you're here to do, and using the Akashic Records really to support people to really coming back into touch with who they are on a soul level. So really understanding who we are on a much bigger scale, more than just in the physical body, but who we are on a soul level and how we can harness that energy of who we are to have such a more empowered lives, to really stand in our soul power in who we are, really to have cause and effect and create change in the world through the work that we do, through how we interact with people and how we do things. But I mean, the Akashic Records is vast. If you haven't heard of them, I mean, they really are. I mean, you may have heard of them through other religions and other we've been talking about the Akashic Records in various ways over centuries, and in the Bible they're referred to as the Book of Life, so people may know of them from that. That's probably how I've always heard of them, not really having ever understood what that is. But they really are what I call an energetic database of all the choices, thoughts, feelings, actions that we've ever taken, and kind of this little store of information that we can harness and use to see what we've been doing, so that we can really shift things around from repeating patterns of behavior that are holding us back from doing what we really want, to actually really releasing that energy and those holding patterns that we've been doing probably for many, many lifetimes, because the Akashic Records is really about looking over past lifetimes as well as this lifetime, releasing that so that we can really stand up and really shine, like shine who we are, shine our soul light.
Oh, that was a brilliant précis of the Akashic Records. And like, how did you start using them? And can you tell us a bit of your sort of backstory and what you were doing before this?
Everything that's led me today has really been a rather kind of interesting unfolding of things coming into my awareness and me going, oh, that's quite interesting. I'll just put my hand up to that and see how that turns out. And then it's just been another thing that's kind of been a real resource and a tool and a way of life that's just really changed everything for me and my whole perception about how things work and the energy of things and how we contribute to the energy and the bigger picture of things. I mean, very originally, I mean, I started off as an IT manager in my career. I did IT programming at university, had not a spiritual bone in my body. I was like, yeah, you know, all about logic, about risk, about figuring things out and project management. And if I do this, how can I avoid this? And it was really my love of travel, interestingly, that really kind of opened my eyes to other ways of doing things. And I decided to leave the corporate world and the IT world to really work within conservation. That became really a big part of my life, how I could give back, how I could support the environment, how I could support smaller communities. And then really my work led me to being coached by somebody and really loving that whole process of like, oh my goodness, there's a whole nother way that we can view things and stand in our own power and in a different way, but just to really be responsible for our actions that have a huge cause and effect, and how we can shift the course of our lives in big ways. And then that opened me up to doing more energetic work and learning Reiki and energy healing, and had no idea what Reiki was. I was just like, oh, that sounds like an interesting workshop. I'll go and check that out. And then really being blown away by, oh, there is much more to this world than we see, than we can see, feel, hear, and in the physical world. And I was just like, it blew me away, really. I was just like, I just knew it with every fiber of my being. My logical brain couldn't quite work it out. I was like, but I knew it in here. And I was like, this is just something I've got to explore. And I kept it under the radar for a long time. I was like quite embarrassed about it. My friends were not that way inclined. And then, you know, slowly but surely, I was like, well, this works. Like, why would I not, you know, work with people around this? I was like kind of feeling my way a little bit. And then the Akashic Records came into my sphere of curiosity. And I was like, what on earth is this all about? This was probably about 8-9 years ago. And it was just another layer of understanding of how the world works, how I see the world, how I view the world. And it just blew me away. And how I work with that now is like, well, if people want to work with me, it's like it has to include the Akashic Records, because it's such an offering that I can't do my work and to the same level without introducing people to that. So people have to be open to experiencing it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. When you were saying about, you know, you have everything in your normal senses, and then you have the heightened unseen senses that you use, and it does. It's a complete different world, isn't it? It's a whole nother world. Completely. How do you view the Akashic Records? Do you view them as like a book of your life, or
Yeah, in some ways, I think that's a really good description, actually, because it really, and not maybe your book of life, but book of lives. So from the moment that your soul came into existence, that was when your Akashic Record came into existence. It was like a spark, you know, lit up in the universe alongside with you and your soul. And then from that day on, that moment on, information gets added to that. And so when we understand who we are at that essence of that soul level, like who we are at that, on that energetic spark of divine, then I really can see how everything changes. I mean, when I really understood my gifts, who I was on a soul level, and started to apply that through things I do on the everyday here on the physical, then my whole world changed. Then everything started to shift and change for me. I started to step more into flow with who I was. Things started to ease up. Things started to unfold for me. Things started to happen. People started to come into my experience. And at the beginning, it was a bit like, oh, that's interesting. Oh my gosh, that's weird. That's a coincidence. And now it's like, it's the norm. It's like, that's what happens in my life. Something will unfold. I kind of receive or see an extra layer of information, and something happens in my physical reality.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. Totally understand that. What you were just talking about, your soul gifts and your sort of soul powers that you have. Yeah. Can you just explain that concept and how listeners, how it would relate to them in terms of their soul powers? And
so we are all unique beings. I think the way I see it was like, we're nearly 8 billion people on the planet, but the beauty of that is that actually we are all unique and individual. There is no one other being on this planet that is exactly like you. We are all unique and beautiful individual beings. That's what makes our world so fascinating and so interesting, that we are all different. And when we understand that difference, but can come together in that oneness of it, that we're all here together to experience something, but that we are all individual within that. And then I really do think everything can change for not just us individually, but for when we start to include that change for us in on an individual level, everything starts to change on a bigger level as well. So if we think about the Akashic Records kind of coming into existence, the moment our soul came into existence, it holds that seed information of who we are, our real unique essence, our unique frequency, our unique vibration, our unique energy field, however we want to describe that. There's lots of different ways to describe that. It's the energy of our soul, essentially. And so when we can see and tap into the energy of that, we get to understand who we are and what we can do to really tap into that energy. So we'll all have a different gift. I mean, we're not there's not an infinite number of gifts. There is a finite number of gifts, but where we fall onto that spectrum will be unique and different for each and every one of us. So we can get an overview of what our gifts are, but within that, there's a very much an individualistic essence to that. And when we can really experience that and really tap into that energy, I think we light up, we become invincible. We are fire. We are able to create, you know, in a beautiful way, because fire is a creation. And so when we can really shine that light and be that fire, we can create whatever we put our desires to. We're not here to go, well, I have to fit into that uniqueness. And how do I do it? I must be here on mission to do a finite number of things with my life. It's like we get to choose that. But how do we fit that into who we are energetically? And then everything opens up.
Yeah, I mean, when I did this with you, I did a soul readings, all the gifts, and I came up with three gifts actually. I may as well just say what mine are, because this is why I'm here. So the first one is like order, so harmony and things just being complete, like a puzzle pieces being put together. So we can see why. What that is.
While you're doing this.
And then the second one was the written and spoken word, so expression. And then the third one was third eye sort of intuition. So doing this and what I do now uses all of those gifts and soul powers.
Absolutely.
And since I've been doing it, you were saying about, you know, the fire and in getting into flow with it, once you're using your gifts, it feels so easy now. It's like, but a lot of that was fear of maybe not really knowing what to do or feeling held back. And we will talk about the lower vibrational things that keep you away from your flow. But there's always, so how do you, if people want to know what their soul powers are, is there something that they can sort of tap into to recognize what their soul powers are? Is it something sort of like just doing what they love, or is there more to this?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think, yes, it is about really tapping into what we love. But I think there's more to it than that, because I think what you were saying just a moment ago, I think before, when we don't really know what our soul power is, it becomes a little bit like guesswork. It becomes a little bit like, oh, I love doing this and I'm going to do this. And then something distracts us and we kind of get taken off that path. And we've all kind of been there. And that was really my pattern of behavior before as well, before I really understood it, was that I would kind of feel like, oh my goodness, everything's falling into place. Everything's going great. I love it. Like everything feels really, and then something would happen and it would be a bit like a tap being turned off and I wouldn't have a clue what I did that. And so I would stop. I would hold myself back again. The fear would come that I'd broken something, that I'd done something hugely wrong. And I think when we understand it through the Akashic Records, what happens is we get to definitively know, oh, you know, that maybe that's where I stepped out of alignment with who I was. That's where I kind of stepped out and it went a bit wonky. And then we can course correct, or we can tweak something, or we can come back towards it again quite quickly. And again, that's with practice over time, that quickness of coming back to something just that gets quicker and quicker. And I think that that's where a lot of my fear used to certainly come from, was just not having this conscious understanding of what it was that was really going on. And that's where we can really tap into it. So if you feel like you're being sort of tugged away from something you love or something, then sort of stop for a moment, but don't stop entirely. Just come back, try to come back. And I, as you know, Hannah, I do lead a lot of meditations to try and support people to tap into this energy themselves, because we hold it ourselves. We have it. Sometimes we need a guide to show us, to reflect things back to us, to say, oh, okay, well, perhaps this is where we went a bit wonky. And I know I need my own guide in doing that. But my view is, I really want to show people how they can tap into that for themselves. But it's a process of learning and trusting, as you talk mm-hmm. about, trusting into that, that actually we can self-navigate back towards alignment, back to the direction where we want to go, that we choose. So yes, yeah, it does feel a bit like that. We just, the consciousness really can shift it.
Yeah. There were the main, when I sort of tapped into what this episode was going to be about, the main thing that came up, you were saying about trusting your inner self. Like you, we all know how to heal ourselves. We all know how we should be, like what we've come here to achieve.
Yeah.
But so the trust was definitely there, but the main word I kept getting was strength. Yeah. Like if we're, so for me, particularly if I'm supporting other people in the work that I do, somebody said to me this week, actually, you know, you're supporting me, but I'm sorry, I can't support you. And I was like, don't worry, because
yeah.
I have a whole unseen, and we all do, you know, they're all here supporting me and I've tapped into them so I can use yeah. them. So this, it's almost like when you are lacking in strength yeah. and feeling like life is probably getting on top of you in some ways, like there is another whole realm, isn't there, of people there to support you, and yes. you, it's quite important, it's important to ask for help as well, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I, you know, that's something that I've, and I think especially as women, we're not very good at asking for help. We're like, yeah, we can do it all ourselves, we're really mm-hmm. good at it. And I know that that's definitely without a shadow of a doubt me. So I can do everything, I'm strong, I'm a strong independent woman, I don't need anyone. And now I really have lent into the asking, and I laugh at it sometimes, because it's just like, you know, it's like we have these resources available. We have Spirit Guide team that are out there supporting us, our own unique team who are there behind us, gunning for us, going, just ask us, we're here waiting just to be acknowledged and to be asked. And if I forget occasionally, and then I'm like, hey, Spirit Guide team, you know, come on. And then I can hear this, they have a sense of humor. They're like, yeah, we've just been sitting here twiddling our thumbs waiting for you. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it, I know. And it's like having this lightness of heart with things, and really drawing on, like, we are never alone. Like even now, you know, in this difficult, challenging time where that's all we are supposed to be, is isolated and alone. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not, we have resources, we have guides, we have or an inner guidance system. We are working, you know, we're not separate from that. We're not individual beings with a higher self that we have to call in. We're all of that at all times. It's about trusting that and opening up and recognizing that that is there for us at any moment. We don't have to stop being human and tap into the spiritual and go, oh, I'm going to meditate now and I'm going to tap into my spirit guide team or my extra resources. And then I can only do that then. And then I have to come back into the physical. And I think that's what many of us do. And I used to do that as well, not really knowing how to integrate that. It's like when you're walking down the street, when you're doing something, when I'm working, when I'm creating, I'm constantly working with all of that. And it's fun. It's really great. It's exciting, because you're like, you're thinking one thing and then something else will come in. You're like, oh, hadn't thought about that. Okay, maybe I should listen to that and trust it and see where that goes. And it always works out well when we do that. And it's, you know, it's just with a light heart that I laugh at it sometimes and think, oh yes, of course, you know.
Yeah. So do your spirit guides come in? Is there any sort of special sort of signal that you have between you, or do you just, do they come mainly in your thoughts, or how do they, or does everyone have different connections?
Yeah. Everyone has very different communication styles with that. It's like how you communicate with others. It's how your guides will, you know, your guides are very individual as well. So they, you know, some of them might be, you know, very loud and very clear. Some of those might be quiet little whispers in your ear. So different guides, I find, communicate with me in different ways, depending on what I need at the time. Mm. If I'm not listening, then they cut the louder, shoutier ones will come in. And sometimes it feels like a bit like a slap in the face. And other times it will be a moment where I'm, you know, busy doing something else, or I'm I'm in the shower or I'm gardening or I'm going for my walk, and I will just get a sense of something or a knowing of something, and it doesn't leave me. And normally when I know something is I need to investigate or look into it or explore it further, when, you know, an hour later it like pops back in my head, and I haven't forgotten that thing, because I'm always getting ideas, I'm always getting downloads of something or other. I can't listen to it all, I think I would be exhausted if I did, but I know when something's pertinent, and I've learnt to not listen to that, if that makes sense.
Okay. And how many spirit guides do people have in general? And do they come and go through life? Do you get different ones, or do ones stay with you all the way through, or how does that
work? So I think it's important to know, when we're talking about spirit guides, there are different layers of spirit guide teams that work with us. So we have our own personal team of guides who only work with us. Then we have the other guides. We have archangels, we have guardian angels, we have spirit guides, animal guides, other realms as well. We've got the fairies, all of these earth elementals that love to communicate with some people, and we might tune into various different ones of those, but we all have a personal spirit guide team, and we kind of like hire them as we go through life, and as we're making more and more choices. And we generally have between 4 and 7, generally people have 5 or 6, but between 4 and 7 as we go through life, depending on how much support we need. So if we choose to take on a bigger mission in life, a bigger role in life as a leader, we may hire an extra guide along with us to support us as an extra bit of resource. If we don't, then we may not need as many guides, and it neither is good or bad. We choose what we want to, how we want to walk in life. So but our guides want to be heard, our guides want to be asked, they want to be, because they're my feeling and my sense is guides are a few steps ahead of us on the evolutionary learning, spiritual learning curve, if you like. And they want to learn alongside us. They're here to join with us so that we can learn, but they also get to learn as well. And so they hold a very playful learning energy around them as well. So they want to see us thrive. They want to see us expanding and growing as human and spiritual beings.
Yeah, that's something which you've said a couple of times about the lightness and the playfulness of this, because that's so important, isn't it? I know when I started looking at spirituality and it was all terrifying, to be honest. And then you start getting into it. And since working with you, I do feel it's a lot more playful. And this is fun. We are supposed to be having fun in life, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I totally agree. I mean, like, I used to be so serious, especially when I was in corporate and when I was in project management. I took my job and my role very, very seriously in life. It's like, and it showed in all areas of my life. It reflected, you know, I was fun. I was a bit of a party goer, but you know, I could also see that real seriousness. And I really recognize, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing, that had I not shifted careers, had I not shifted things, I think that seriousness in me would have got stronger and the playfulness would have diminished and would have diminished my light at the same time. And actually, you know, now saying that out loud, that's very clear to me. And, you know, everything that I teach and, you know, around business and everything, sometimes it isn't easy. You know, it's challenging being an entrepreneur, it's challenging putting yourself out there. But I think one of the joys of me teaching that is to bring the joy into that so that people can really enjoy it, because we are here to have fun. We are not here in this lifetime, I don't believe, to just be serious and to get the job done. We're here to have as much abundance and lightness and fun and connections and experiences. For me, life is about experiences as we can.
Gosh, that leads beautifully into the next subject, really, about for me, I can definitely see if I was serious, you know, yeah, and with massive grief sitting over me and life, the fun went out of life totally.
Yeah.
You know, it did. And grief is one of those things that brings your vibration so far down. And I know a lot of my journey was getting the vibration up. Yeah. So if we're going to talk about like low vibration, so if we're talking about a place of low vibration, what does that attract to us? How does that manifest in our life if we're in a fear like is surrounding in the collective in a lot of ways at the moment? Yeah. What will what will that bring to us? What will that attract to us?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because the way I see energy is that energy is energy. So it's either a lower vibration or a higher vibration, however we see it. Whatever vibrational frequency we are in, we will attract more of that. So we have to be really mindful about what is our most predominant energy. What energy is that? Is it more that I'm doing more fear in a day than I'm doing joy? Or am I doing more joy and lightness and playfulness in my day and I'm doing some fear? You know, because we live in a very polarized world right now. And it's not easy to maintain balance given everything that's going on. And we are affected, and most of us are sensitive beings, and we don't want to protect ourselves from all the fear that's going on, because that's fear-based in itself. If we shut ourselves away and we're fearful of everything and I mustn't put myself in that vibration, that is actually an energy of fear. So it's how we're doing these things. And we have to experience all energetic vibrations, because we don't know what joy is without having experienced sadness. We can't possibly know what that is. But what we do have in the middle of that is a choice. Where do we choose to put our attention and our energy towards? Do we choose to stay in the lower vibration? And I'm using air quotes because it's just another energy. We say it's lower, we say it's higher, but it's just another energy. And we know we can measure it in terms of frequency, sure. So that's not to say that we can't measure it in terms of higher and lower, but I find it really supports me and my clients if we stop looking at it as bad and good or lower and higher, that it's just another energy. And from that energy of fear, what can we learn about ourselves? What can we do differently around that that will shift us out of that? And to start with, it's always baby steps. It's little steps that lead us towards something that, you know, find something that brings you joy in the middle of that, and then do something a little bit more along those lines, and then a little bit more, and shifting our general energy and our attention to what we want to do more of.
Yeah, because a lot of it is results, isn't it? So like, what results are you seeing in your life? And that kind of indicates what you're giving out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we can see quite quickly where our energy is going, because our environment will reflect that directly back to us. So we know it when we say, when we put ourselves in a vibration with like-minded people, that's what we experience. It's like, if we see the world as bad, we will only see the bad. If we see the good, then we will only see the good. And I have really, really tried to see the positive in the world. That's not to negate that other things don't happen, but where we want to draw our attention to is so important. And we will start to see that very quickly in our results, on where we're putting our attention to and what we are doing. That really creates a whole different world. Things will start to change. It's like, as we know that from gratitude. Gratitude is a great example. Having a gratitude, there's so much research, there's so much science behind it now. We cannot argue with it. And this is a prime example of that. If we have a daily gratitude practice, we can then start to see that reflected back in us. People start to respond to us differently because we shift our vibration. Now, that has to be not that we sit down for 3 minutes a day and we write, oh, this was good today, this was good today, this was good today. We've got to feel it. We've got to go, oh, remember that thing that happened today? Wow, I'm so grateful. We've got to feel that gratitude in every single cell of our being. And to start with, that's not easy when we feel the world is like lots of hardship going on in our life. But if we start to feel that a little bit, our vibrational starts to shift, and then we start to shift our vibration and we start to become a match to that. And then we start to see the results showing up. So we have to feel it. I heard somebody say, which I thought was genius, don't just do gratitude and pay it lip service. Do it like you mean it, and then everything will change.
Yeah, and then you start attracting your frequency and your vibration. Yeah. And then doing, when you were saying about the little steps and using your soul gifts and your soul powers, and that, yeah, you just get into flow. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, having been through the whole sort of process with you, it is it's completely powerful and life-changing, totally. The other thing that we needed to talk about today was like vision, having clarity. I know we're talking a lot at the moment in this podcast about new beginnings because we're Easter and springtime, but there's certain things, because there's another part that you do with in your work about past lives and the fact that your past lives bring through blocks that you maybe are not aware of. So say you're working on something and you just keep repeating the same behaviors, or so can you just sort of tell us about how the past life or how your past lives impact on your life now? And we'll just do that question first.
Yeah. It's right, really interesting. And in its simplest form, if we think back over history, you know, life wasn't, you know, history hasn't been kind. It hasn't been generous. You know, if we think about how we might have been, especially if we've been incarnated as women, you know, things, it wasn't always easy to live our soul purpose, our soul powers. It wasn't easy to stand up as a woman or a man and express your truth and say, hey, this is what I feel is important. You know, this is where we get a real opportunity today, because we live in a very different world, thankfully, where we can express ourselves and we are not afraid in the Western world that we will get executed or burnt at the stake for speaking up and saying things are perhaps not quite the way that they've always seemed. In past lives, that was dangerous. So if we think about a past life where we've had a past life where we had been killed because we spoke up, we write that into our Akashic record as if to say, don't forget this. Do never speak up in a next lifetime because you may die. That's how serious some of these things are. Like this much, and this can be as in simple as speaking up to a boss today to say, hey, I'm not happy. It has the same energetic resonance to it. So these things can play out in really seemingly safe environments where it's like probably quite safe for you to say to your boss, you know what, I'm not happy. This is not working for me. How can we change this and have an open conversation about it? But because we hold that soul memory, we don't feel we can express ourselves and we can't speak up. So this goes through loops. It goes through relationships. It can go through our health and well-being. Like something's not okay around, we don't feel well. We don't feel well, but we don't speak up about it because someone might judge us for it. So it can play out in so many different life areas. So when we actually can look at the Akashic records and say, this was the past life, this is what happened, and this is the energetic resonance. So it might be, it's like silence. You've got an energy of silence attached to this. You can then see how that plays out in your lifetime, because there are some people that really aren't silent. So this doesn't play out for everyone. So it will resonate. It will be like, well, yeah, I can totally see how I'm being silenced, or I silence myself, or I'm constantly around people who are telling me to shut up or don't value what I say. And so then with that consciousness and that awareness, we can go, okay, well, what do I need to do differently in order to change my results? How do I show up differently? And of course, then we can do some work in the Akashic records to actually clear that energy so that we have a bit of a pathway, a bit of a, you know, a clearing in the forest. You know, we've slain some of those weeds, so we can actually find a pathway through that to actually give us an opportunity to do things differently. So that supports our shift in our actions.
Yeah, it was amazing doing the past lives with you. I think I was shown 4 past lives, and just the things that came up, and you're just like, oh my god, yeah, of course. Like I had energy of betrayal for one, and then also guilt against going against my family's wishes, you know, that's a big one, isn't it? Like, yeah. Family things, and then vow of poverty and all these things that just, it just, things make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do. And I didn't really know you when we did the first reading, did I? And it was, no. So it wasn't something that we'd known each other for a long time. Like, I really didn't know you. I'd only met you. I don't think we'd even had a conversation.
No, we hadn't. No.
No. So, no. You know, so these things can really, and they really give us a sense of, well, yeah, a sense of understanding.
Yeah, and it's not like they affect every part of our life, like you were saying, the social, yeah. The emotional, the financial, the physical. It's when we talk about karma, as in we're coming into this life with a how would you describe karma? Because I know how I describe it, but how would you describe it? And how does that affect our life?
Yeah, so I think I see. The way I see things and I intuitive things is like energy. It's like somebody will be in an experience in front of me and I'll be able to see what energetically is being exchanged. I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. What's going on there? Mm-hmm. Or if somebody's relaying a story, I can see what's at play energetically wise. So I think for me, karma is really about what is the energy that's playing out over and over again. That we've kind of like filled a whole backpack of stuff over past lives, slung it over our shoulders, and we're carrying it with us. And we're just digging them out at certain points in life. And we're going, right, I'm going to play that one again. And then we put it away for another rainy day and we'll pull it out again. And it's like, how do we unpack that and leave that unpacked? And it is a journey. I would really like to say that, you know, although I believe that everything is magical, like there is no magic at play. It's not like I do some work in the Akashic Register and by poof of magic, like everything's gone. You get to be a participant in that. And that's what I love about the work that I do. It is very much about putting the person that I'm working with, you, whoever else, is like, it's like handing someone the information with responsibility that you get to create and rewrite it all if you choose. And
that's like the key, isn't it? It's like you can do all the activations, all the meditations, all the whatever that you can do, but if you don't act on it and do the little steps and make changes, your free will means that, like, you have free will, don't you? You can either take it or leave it. And the other thing that just come into my head is about boundaries, where you are giving your energy away. It's like you have free will. If you can explain that better than I've just tried to, that sense of boundaries and that you are in control of your energy.
Absolutely. No one can take energy from you under any circumstances unless you give them permission and you give it to them. So as the holder of your energy, no one can take anything from you unless you willfully give it. And that is unconscious, subconscious, superconscious, most of the time, but we are giving away energy all the time. And it was something you said a little earlier, you know, around, you know, as healers, that we are that tower of strength, but we don't need anything from someone because we are the supporter, but we're not giving anything away either. And that's how we maintain our energy. And and for healers as well that I work with, I really do a lot of work with them around this, a lot of guidance work around this, because it's something we can get quite confused of as healers, as people who are supporting others, that we think we've got to give in order to do the best job we can. And we only really do the best job we can from a tower of strength. And that's in very good boundaries, energetic boundaries around us that hold us in the driving seat, if you like, and say, sometimes I might need to give you a bit of energy, but I know that's going to come back to me tenfold because I'm not leaking it out. I'm sharing it. I like to talk about sharing my energy. Like, come in, sit with me, share in this beautiful energy that we're co-creating, and it's not giving anyway. I like to think of myself, and do I do this all the time? I'm not sure, but like to shine as much as I can and allow people to feel what that feels like so they can do that. And then it all flows around the system in such a beautiful, harmonious and balanced exchange of energy. That's how I like to describe it. Balanced exchange of energy.
So how, just a quick question. How would you know if you are leaking energy?
Oh, very good question. I think it's really obvious. You will feel depleted. You will feel exhausted. You will feel tired. You will probably feel like you never get enough sleep. You will feel constantly drained. They're not the high vibing good feelings. And you know, when you are maintaining your energetic boundaries, you will feel great. You will feel energized. You will feel amazing after giving and working with somebody and giving treatments or healing treatments. I always feel amazing. I'm always on cloud nine. I'm like, you know, I really do believe and feel I get as much as I give in the sessions with my clients. My clients are incredible. And it's just a beautiful co-creation in the space. We are in it together. We're seeing what bubbles to the surface, and I learn as much from my clients as hopefully they learn from me.
It's huge, isn't it? This co-creation. And I mean, when we're in a fear base, you were talking about that earlier, we kind of do tend to be quite insular and back away from
protective.
Yeah, in protection mode. But actually, that's something we need to really get rid of, isn't it? Or overcome, in because co-creating is, that's how we are naturally, that's how we're supposed to be, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's how we get to change the world that is in crisis. Really, we do this by being each a tower of strength and working with each other and co-creating this new way of being that we want to see coming into being on earth. And that's what I really truly believe, is that this is how we co-create change, and we need it. We really, really need it.
We do. What do you see as some of the biggest problems at the moment?
Oh wow, gosh, there are quite a lot. I think fear is one of the, actually we've talked about it. I think fear is really one of the biggest challenges that we want to navigate. It's a challenge. We can overcome it. There is, you know, it's where do we choose to put our energy? I've stopped watching the news. I'm informed. I listen to things. I try to get a range of opinions and things. So it's not about like, oh, I don't want to listen to that, so I'm going to listen to only the good stuff. I want to know what's going on so I can make informed choices. So it's not about shutting yourself away again, because that again is fear-based. It's really around how we start to do things differently so we can start to infuse our life with more joy, with more of those other vibrations that we want to see more in the world. That's working with others, collaboration, unity, connection. Wow, you know, we need that. We must not let that fall to the wayside, because that's what the rhetoric, like the everything that we are being told right now is to distance. It's like, how do we create connection? And I have done my hardest to create and infuse connection in this situation over the last year, to support others to be connected as much as possible so that we can keep that energy flowing around.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I did a abundance course with you. I think that's how I first got in, which I know you do quite regularly during the year, which I'd recommend anybody do. But that was all about like stepping into this universal flow, wasn't it? Of money, of light, of love, of everything, and to show that we are so connected. You know, what we as individuals do ripples out so much to everybody else, and our communities, our families. You know, we can really change other people's lives. And we need to be the ones that change, and then that sort of ripple, isn't it? So we're all so connected.
Yeah, absolutely. There is no separation. There really isn't. We can't get away from that. Everything is connected. And, you know, it's a bit like as I shine, you shine, as you shine, I shine. And then someone else gets a whiff of that and goes, oh, what's all that shining going on over there? Let's have a bit of that. And so that's how we ripple out that change. And if we can do that, just, you know, whatever situation we're in, however we are feeling right now in the moment, if we can just spark a moment of that a day, and then two moments of that a day, and start to build on that. It's small, as I said, you know, the small steps of that, we really make a huge difference. Don't for one second think that that's just impacting you. Know that it is, other people will see it, and you do, as you do it for yourself, you do it for others. And not that you're giving that away, but as you do it for yourself, you do it for others. And I think that is the beauty of being human and understanding the world from a different perspective nowadays, that we are really starting to understand.
Yeah, I know in meditations during the last set of course I did with you, I kept seeing this a spiral that was opening up and raising up. And I know we talked about this a while ago, because your new logo for your business was this.
I know, that was hilarious, because you mentioned it in when we were having a chat. And I'd literally just done that symbol, worked with somebody, a branding person around that. And I was like, I was just goosebumps. I was like, I can't believe you're bringing that up right now. It's like, it was such an affirmation for me. It's like, oh yes, my logo's totally what I need and what's right. We are just constantly in this ever moving, ever evolving, ever expanding universe. Nothing is finite, nothing is fixed. Whatever you are going through and feeling right now, it can transform, and it can transform quickly as well, which is the beauty of it.
Yes, it can change really quickly once you sort of get your vision right and stay focused. And and that, it was funny, because when I was doing meditations during your course, I kept being given a microphone and being told about this podcast, and that's how it was. And I kept seeing this spiral of energy, and the higher you go up, the more audience you have, or the higher, you know, more it ripples out and people are able to see you. And I know, you know, we talk about the leaders in waiting who are listening to this show, and it's so important that we are here talking openly, I hope it's kind of encouraging others to start exploring things that are being, you know, they're being led, it's just being like open to exploring new things and using your voice and standing up and telling your truth. And I know, I just want to talk about your circle that you're starting up. It starts on the 12th of April. And when we were talking about, when I was saying earlier about the having small circles of people, and you're all supporting each other, and you start linking with other groups, which is what's happening to me. You know, you do link to other groups, and then it's just a bigger and wider. So just wanted to tell the audience about your circle that you're starting up with Lucy, and
the amazing Lucy Brand, who's now become such a dear friend of mine. And it's called the Circle of Light Movement. And what it really is Lucy and I have this huge vision of how we can ripple this light out. We want to invite people who are ready to come and dance in the light with us. And so we created a monthly membership. It's an opportunity to come and join us in the Circle of Light Movement. It's going to be a global movement. We're literally just launching on the 12th of April. We are so excited. We've already invited incredible souls to come and work with us already. And it's really a place where people can come and hang out, and really with like-minded people who are behind them, supporting them, gunning for them. If you're going through a challenging time, there will be people there that can really support you through that challenge and allow you to grow and expand and to start creating change in the world. So it's not just for business owners. This is people who really want to make a difference through their own family, their community. It doesn't matter how small that is. If you know you have a spark of light in you that you want to expand and light up further and come and dance in the light with all of us, then please come and join us. It's going to be expansive. I'm so excited.
I'm excited. I can feel the energy around as we're just talking about it. So where can people find more information about the circle?
So the circle, go to www.circleoflightmovement.com. There's a join the membership page on there. Come and join us at the bottom. There's loads of information on there about what you get. There's loads, you know, and how you can really, you know, a bit about the vibe of the community that we want to draw in. So go to that website, have a read. If you've got any questions or you're like, oh, I'm not sure, just reach out to Lucy and I. We'd be delighted to have a chat with you. If you read it and you're like, yay, I'm in, just click the button and come and join us. We start on the 12th and then doors will close on the 12th for that group, and then you'll be put on a waiting list for the next intake of people. So if you think yeah, maybe not right now, just pop yourself on the waiting list and come and join us next time round.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's going to be great, and it'd be lovely to have some listeners join in as well. That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Yes.
Well, that's our time. I can't believe they always go so quickly.
Unbelievable.
So thank you so much, Natasha. It's been a joy, as always, to talk to you and to have you on the show. And I know next week we have Nikki on, who I know you know, who's going to be talking all about nature and lessons from nature. And Nikki and I... we do fire circles together. So we always have, it's another joyful person in my life. I am absolutely blessed at the moment to have all these people in my life. And I know that's a part of my, I'm attracting these people as well. I understand that totally. But honestly, from going from where I was with Christian in that state of total grief and fear, and just steadily, it's like just steadily releasing those blocks and the layers, and it does, it's totally life changing. So I do, you know, if you are thinking about or you're really feeling that something needs to change in your life, like now is a really, really good time to make the leap. And it would be lovely to see some people in the group as well. So next week, we're going to be talking about nature and also how you can follow the seasons and how you can slow time down and really, really get joy from being in nature and connecting with Mother Nature. So that will be next week's session. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And you can always find past episodes on Finder of Lost Things podcast.com, and there are transcriptions and everything there. And if you would like to review the podcast, that would be great on iTunes as well. Okay, lots of love. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you to Natasha, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Finder of Lost Things. I think we've been triggered so long and so hard by COVID, and it's going to carry on. People are getting used to stillness, and they're getting used to more solitude, but how do you use that time for the highest good? This process that we're going to explore will bring back the joy and purpose to life. That wholeness, you know, that sort of harmony and flow and togetherness. People are really ready to find their lost parts now. You can find me at hannahvelton.online.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.